Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take a stack of sources, could be articles, research, sometimes like today, something a bit different, and we pull out the key insights for you.
And today, yeah, it's definitely different. We're plunging into, well, a really raw, unfiltered corner of the internet, an anonymous forum thread.
Right. Think of it like peering into this spontaneous, totally unmoderated conversation. It's chaotic, sometimes controversial, definitely.
But also surprisingly revealing about online culture, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So our mission, our goal for this deep dive is to navigate this, well, dense content.
Yeah, dense is a good word. We want to uncover insights into how these intense fan communities engage with media.
And also how broader social, maybe even political ideas, intersect with fandom.
And just generally map out the diverse, often kind of contradictory facets of online culture you find in these spaces.
So as we started digging into this mix of opinions, debates, personal thoughts, what immediately struck you? What jumped out first?
For me, it was how this one specific fan controversy just seemed to, like, ignite everything.
Ah, you mean the KG Tack thing.
Exactly. Karkit goes to a convention. It's a fan-made comic based on Homestuck, the webcomic.
Right. And the core of it, the real heat, seemed to be around how the comic's author handled the character Karkat.
Specifically, his use of certain sensitive words. The forum users really clashed over the author's portrayal, and maybe more so their preface about it.
Yeah, that preface got a lot of attention. People in the thread seemed to react pretty strongly.
Oh, definitely. They widely criticized it. They saw the author's approach as self-obsessed with political morals. That's a direct quote.
Wow. Self-obsessed. Okay.
Yeah. And they even accused the author of promoting purity culture and just general oversensitivity.
It really shows how invested these communities are, doesn't it? But how media gets interpreted and, like, who gets to define a character.
Totally. And they didn't just make general complaints. They pointed to specific examples in the fan comic.
Like what?
Well, things like KG Tack characters apparently self-censoring their usage of retard, showing visible discomfort, and vocally decrying ableism. And the forum users felt these characters were being presented as taking the morally high ground.
So it's like the forum users were critiquing what they saw as a moralizing tone within the fan work itself.
Precisely. And a huge part of their argument was that this misrepresented the original character, Karkat, from Homestuck.
How so?
They insisted that Karkat, who's known for being, you know, aggressive, abrasive.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
Right. They said he only used the word autistic once in the entire original comic, referring to this autistic cat girl, Nepeta.
Okay. So they felt the fan comic was exaggerating or inventing this focus.
Exactly. They claimed the KG Tack author was, and this is another quote, playing with dolls on a puppet stage just to make a PSA.
Implying it wasn't really about the story, but about pushing a social message.
That seems to be the core of the critique. One user even described a specific scene where an autistic kid's sister expresses pietistic outrage at Karkat for using the word retard, while autistic kid meekly interjects. They saw that as emblematic of Homestuck's changing legacy. Or maybe diluted legacy, in their view.
And there was even speculation about who the author was, right?
Yeah, that was interesting, too. Guesses ranged from a 1722 Gum woman to a Zoomer male dunking on the oldie fandom for being toxic.
Which kind of suggests the criticism wasn't purely about the text itself.
Well, some users explicitly said the critiques came from hurt fifis, which is, you know, pretty dismissive online speak for emotional objections rather than logical ones.
Right. Okay, so beyond KG Tack, the thread also touched on Homestuck more broadly.
Oh, yeah. Lots of talk about characters, the creator Andrew Hu.
Like what kind of character talk?
Well, some pretty out there fan descriptions of Karkat, like the cripple collar Vantis or calling him a mutured blood.
Okay, definitely some deep cut fan terminology there.
And debates about whether Doc Scratch, another character, would have worked as a protagonist. Kind of like internal fan discussions about narrative choices.
Mm-hmm. And didn't they compare some character groups?
They did. A detailed comparison between the Midnight Crew and Team Sleuth.
Trying to figure out who was funnier.
Basically, yeah. And arguing about which members were dead weight, humor-wise, real granular stuff.
And critiques of who, E, the author?
Frequent. Claims that Tumblr ruined the comic was a big one.
Ah, the classic fandom blame game.
Kind of. Also, changing the name of a character called Eternity Shylock, some saw that as the real death knell for the series.
Interesting. Specific moments being pinpointed.
And just general claims his writing quality dropped off, especially with character voices, like Dave's speech patterns becoming inconsistent.
So all this deep, sometimes negative engagement. It says something about fandom itself, doesn't it?
It really does. There's this self-aware vibe, like one user saying, us hating Homestuck is epic, actually. Bonding over shared dislike, almost.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And observations about how some subreddits kind of outlived its source material and then just became more Reddit.
Meaning they lost their original focus and just adopted the broader internet culture.
Seems like it. And maybe the most meta commentary of all.
What's that?
The repeated line, you guys will die talking about Homestuck.
Wow. Just highlighting how stuck they are, how enduring this engagement is, even years later.
Exactly. It really speaks to the stickiness of these intense online communities.
Okay, so shifting gears a bit from just Homestuck.
Mm-hmm.
The thread itself, the way people talked, was also pretty revealing, right? The language they used.
Oh, absolutely. It's a window into the, let's say, lexicon of this kind of online space.
You mean the slang and provocative language.
Yeah. Beyond the words discussed in the Cage Attack stuff, there was a lot of inflammatory, often derogatory language used pretty casually.
Like
terms
what?
Like biz nasty, die app, 8-inch, call, even a racial slur used bizarrely in the context of physical attraction. It really underscores the lack of moderation.
And there was that one specific URD used constantly, wasn't there?
Yeah. S-M-U-R-F. Used as a replacement expletive in so many posts.
Which is interesting because it's not just dodging a filter, is it? It felt more like...
like an in-group thing. Exactly. It's how these closed-off communities develop their own sublanguage. It builds identity, but also lets them be aggressive within their own coded terms.
It's like a linguistic fingerprint
yeah.
for that specific forum.
Well put. And speaking of language origins, there was a little side discussion about the word epic.
Oh, yeah. Why it became such a big internet enthusiasm word.
Mm-hmm. One person suggested it might trace back to World of Warcraft.
Wow. How?
The gear tiers. Epic items were the top tier, super rare and powerful. So the idea is that embedded epic as meaning extremely awesome in gamer culture first.
Huh. That actually makes a lot of sense.
And it wasn't all just slang. There were critiques of the discourse itself, like someone saying, this is what people say when they don't have an argument.
Pointing out logical fallacies or just conversational dead ends within the thread itself.
Yeah, a bit of self-policing maybe, or just frustration.
Okay, now, we should probably preface this next section. As we get into identity, gender, societal norms, the language gets really unfiltered.
Yeah, this is where the lack of moderation is maybe most apparent. It contains some deeply offensive and explicit stuff. We're reporting what was in the thread, not endorsing it, obviously.
Absolutely. So, for instance, views on feminism, pretty stark.
Very. One participant just flat out asserts, feminism, WebU women's short-term thinking, retarded.
Okay.
And controversially tried to link women getting the vote in the U.S. to the start of prohibition.
So really provocative claims. Were they just left hanging there?
No, there was pushback. Someone dismissed it simply as brain dead.
Right.
And another person had a more nuanced, though still kind of strange, take. Moralist women made kino for everyone. Whatever kino means in that context, maybe good content. It's unclear.
So clashing ideologies side by side. Often abrasively.
That's the nature of these spaces. And gender identity was a huge topic, often discussed using derogatory terms.
Like the word trickster.
Yeah, that was used frequently when talking about transgender people, often tied to criticizing their appearance or perceived authenticity.
There was confusion about pronouns too, wasn't there?
Yeah, people expressing concern or maybe just confusion about they, she pronouns and especially it pronouns. One user said they were genuinely concerned about the number of people that want to be called it.
And the critiques of appearance got pretty specific.
Very. Someone saying they can't really respect tricksters who call themselves women and then look like this, focusing on what they called a lazy mouth breather appearance, a lack of effort.
So policing presentation.
Mm-hmm. And then there was this pretty controversial theory presented, linking transgender identity to being, quote, turbotists that get tripped into thinking that all their problems were because wrong gender instead of autism brain.
Attributing gender identity to neurodivergence in a really dismissive way.
Exactly. And it wasn't just gender identity. There were observations about perceived male archetypes, too.
The new male thing.
Yeah, someone shared this little story about seeing a man in public beard, glasses, scrawny figure, trying to dress like a jock, even though he was with his wife and kids. Just this very specific, almost anthropological observation.
Judging appearances and perceived gender roles.
Right. And crucially, we have to mention the explicit sexual content. It was significant.
Yeah, we need to be clear about this. Without getting into every graphic detail, the thread contained a lot of disturbing references.
Discussions about things like 50-year-old women in diapers raping for cash flow. Really direct, graphic statements. One was just Vriska shitting on my chest right now.
Vriska being a Homestuck character.
Yeah!
So mixing fandom with that.
Yeah. And suggestions like putting cum in the barrel, someone describing masturbated to myself in the mirror.
And stories about actual interactions.
There was an anecdote about a teenage ERP erotic roleplay session involving Homestuck characters where manipulation occurred. And someone else described making money from people who cum-tribed my pixelated feet. It just shows the absolute raw, sometimes deeply unsettling nature of a truly unfiltered online space.
It really does. Okay, shifting gears again, quite dramatically. The thread also veered into geopolitics and conspiracy theories.
Surprisingly, yeah. Or maybe not surprisingly for these kinds of forums, the Dugin controversy came up.
Alexander Dugin, the Russian political theorist.
That's him. And the death of his daughter. One user was quite blunt, saying, I'm glad she got blown up.
Wow. And they justified that.
Yeah, by claiming she called for Ukrainian genocide and went to Mariupol to dance on the graves of the defenders, all framed with this kind of detached, there's a war context.
That's jarring.
And related to Dugin, there was talk about Amazon's content policies, comparing the availability of his books versus someone like Julius Evola.
Evola, the Italian esotericist, is often linked to the far right. So a discussion about platform moderation, essentially.
Kind of, yeah. Which platforms allow which controversial figures.
And then the conspiracy theories really took off.
They escalated quickly. One participant claimed that all major global powers, BRICS nations, Moscow, Washington, Beijing, quote, in the end, they all serve Israel.
Okay, that's a common conspiracy trope.
And it went further. The claim that run Israel, there's no escape. Referencing Jewish can theory.
Right, the triple parentheses being a clear anti-Semitic dog whistle.
Yeah.
Stark reminder of how these ideas spread in anonymous spaces.
Definitely. And it wasn't just geopolitical conspiracies. There were comments on race and appearance, too.
Like what?
Comments about the Negroid fold. Questions about why some black people look weird, leading to phrases like, Negromania has taken hold of this mutt's mind. Really offensive stuff.
And explicit racial preferences stated openly.
Yes. One user, responding to an image of an Asian person, declared, it's not racism if it's purely biznasty on color. I don't like brown. Just laying it out there.
Biznasty again.
Mm-hmm.
That word seems to cover a lot of ground in this thread.
It does. And perhaps the most unsettling part of this section.
What was that?
The specific real-world conflict information that appeared.
You mean actual intelligence or something?
It seemed like it. A user identified a specific Russian major, Denis Alexeyevich Shainov, by name, passport details, even a residential address.
Whoa. And linked him to what?
To planning a missile attack on Ukraine on July 8th, 2024. An attack that, according to the Post, included hitting the Akhmati Children's Hospital.
That is incredibly specific and serious. To see that kind of allegation surface in a forum alongside fandom debates and memes.
It's jarring, yeah. A stark intrusion of real-world conflict and potential doxing into this otherwise chaotic online space.
Okay, so amidst all that intensity, the fandom wars, the offensive content, the geopolitics, the thread also had moments of just everyday life, the mundane stuff.
Absolutely. That blend is maybe what makes these spaces so strange. You get the digital daily grind mixed in with everything else.
Like people just venting about normal problems.
Yeah, someone talking about their car running out of coolant on the highway. Just relatable frustration. But also darker, more raw expressions of despair. Things like, I want a smurfing die, dude. I don't know what to do. Or simply, I have no money.
So real vulnerability alongside the aggression.
Seems like it. And even creative struggles. Game developers in the thread talked about writer's block, problems with game design.
Yeah, the RPG maker maps.
Exactly. The difficulty of avoiding maps that look like sparse shit, or conversely, cluttered shit, finding that balance.
A very specific game dev problem.
And someone even shared a slightly TMI physical complaint about a worrying amount of blood in the bowl.
Oh.
Which they then clarified wasn't, you know, ass cancer, just that they needed to cut their fingernails.
Okay, well that's mundane reality intruding in a very personal way.
Definitely. And then there are the quirks of the forum itself.
Like that recurring phrase.
Refresh your page now.
Yeah.
It popped up repeatedly, almost like a ritual or an inside joke about the forum's tech.
And specific community references.
talk about the Mejdoshin community, including some self-deprecating humor about it, spending lunch period alone in a bathroom stall.
Ouch. Harsh self-burn.
And even a moderator, Amado, joking about being confused about Rule 4 after banning someone, saying their main job is just to delete, pee, and ban Turk.
Little peek behind the curtain of chaotic online moderation.
Right. And then just pure internet randomness.
Like the cat patterns question.
Why don't cats come in more pleasing patterns such as plaid or argyle? A genuinely bizarre question.
And mentions of protein man lore, whatever that is.
Who knows? Shows the depth of internet inside jokes. Plus other self-aware lines like, imagine a fly rubbing its hands, or being compared to Undertale is my one weakness.
Referencing another game known for its meta-narrative.
Exactly. And observations about niche and tacky production quality YouTube ads. And of course, the classic internet gag, Bravo Kojima!
You can't escape Kojima references online.
Apparently not.
Okay, finally, the thread also touched on the business side of things, digital entertainment, games.
Yeah, there were some surprisingly deep discussions about the economics and design of games.
Like the whole games as a service debate.
Exactly. Users hashing out the problems with that model. Everything from whale hunting, where a tiny fraction of spenders support the whole game.
Right, the free-to-play dilemma.
To the issues with one-time payments, where maybe developers then focus too much on just mass market expansion instead of supporting existing players.
And the core point seemed to be that under both models, the average user can end up feeling like...
like a liability to the game. That was a key phrase used, implying that monetization strategies can sometimes sideline the actual player experience.
And there was disagreement on solutions, right?
Yeah.
Less regulation versus more freedom.
Kind of. One side argued for less laws, not more laws. The other pushed for removing insane copyright laws, specifically.
To allow what? Independent preservation.
Yeah, so fans or third parties could keep online games running after the official servers shut down. A big issue for game history.
That's a really interesting debate about digital ownership and, like, cultural preservation.
It is. And ironically, the discussion brought up Team Fortress 2 players.
TF2.
How? Well, noting that TF2 players often get uppity about stop culling games, meaning shutting down games, even though TF2 itself is a loot box game with centralized item servers, highlighting the contradictions, you know, players criticizing models they participate in.
Right. Happens all the time. And game developers shared more personal struggles, too.
Yeah, beyond the map design thing, there was talk about designing text adventures, the difficulty of weaving a coherent story from lots of random ideas.
So it's really any creative process, I guess.
Pretty much. And the advice on map design for RPG Maker was quite specific.
Yeah.
Avoid the sparse shit or cluttered shit. It requires temperance.
Temperance? Good word for design.
And one really interesting game design idea someone threw out.
Yeah.
A villain who logs all the dumb shit you do and makes fun of you for it.
Huh. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
A meta-villain who weaponizes your gameplay mistakes against you.
Wouldn't that be something? And lots of other specific game mentions, too.
Like that obscure series.
Epic Universe. People discussing rewatching it, debating characters like Weejit and Zeon.
I never heard of it.
Me neither. Someone listed Metal Gear Solid games they were playing through, giving first impressions of MGS4.
Oh, yeah.
And that old, old debate about Mario versus Sonic resurfaced.
Oh, God. Not that again.
Yep. Claims that Mario's popularity is inorganic compared to Sonic's, and that some mortal peon deliberately trying to ruin the series and make Mario #1 again.
The console wars never truly die, do they?
They just move to anonymous forums, mentions of Bomber Girl, comparisons to Undertale, just a snapshot of varied media engagement.
So after wading through all of that, the fandom fights, the offensive language, the conspiracies, the mundane stuff, the game design talk, what's the takeaway? What does it all mean?
Well, it's chaotic, that's for sure. But this deep dive into just one raw, unmoderated thread gives you this incredibly revealing snapshot of online communities, doesn't it?
It really does. You see everything crammed together, fervent debates about, like, niche webcomics and how exactly a character should talk.
Right next to deeply personal struggles, money worries, health scares.
And then these shocking geopolitical claims or conspiracy theories.
It really is a microcosm of the internet itself, the mundane smashing right into the extreme, all these individual voices colliding.
Forming this incredibly complex, sometimes ugly, but undeniably human tapestry.
And what's maybe most insightful or fascinating is that underneath all the different topics, all the different tones, It seems driven by these core human needs, right?
Needs for expression, connection.
Yeah, and understanding. Even if that understanding is being filtered through some really, really abrasive lenses, sometimes hateful ones.
Which brings us to a pretty important question, I think, for you listening.
Yeah. In a world that's just increasingly shaped by these kinds of digital spaces, how do we engage with this unfiltered chaos of online discourse?
How do you extract insight, find meaning, maybe even connect without getting totally overwhelmed?
Or worse, letting yourself be shaped by the most extreme parts of it.
Something to think about, definitely, long after this deep dive is over.